Cut the music. Cut the music. We can't play that music. That music is supposed to be hype. That music is supposed to be joyous. I'm supposed to be excited, bumping the music, dancing along, singing along. But the Jets are giving me no reason. No reason to do that. I do everything I possibly can to stay level-headed, to stay hopeful, to believe in anything. And the Jets continuously slap me in the face, and every single Jets fan, with their performance. Yesterday, the New York Jets fall to the Carolina Panthers, and they are now 0-7. And the Jets are 0-7 for the first time since 2020, I believe. And it's a dark time right now, Jets fans. It's just that simple. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. There's nothing you can beat around the bush. Yet again, another Sunday of absolute disaster. And now it's another Monday of not a victory Monday, but Jets therapy. We're going to get into the Jets therapy session. We're going to get everybody's thoughts. But there's a lot I want to get into before we go into the therapy session. But this is really dark times. I want to give a big shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to Kobe. Shout out to everybody that is tuning on into this show, tuning into this channel. I appreciate it. I don't blame Richie for being late. Imagine having to wake up and talk about the Jets. Yeah, Frank. I mean, listen, the funny thing about what I do for a living is nobody's telling me to do it. I mean, I choose to make these decisions. Some people still question why I do it. Some people are asking me to stop. Richie, stop hanging. Hang up the cleats, Richie. Stop making content about the Jets. They're 0-7. Why do you keep doing this to yourself? I chose this as my career to cover my favorite football team for a living, and I'm not going to stop just because they are incompetent. I think that this fan base deserves to have a voice of reason. Not that I can really provide that, but it also deserves a platform for you guys to come on and voice your frustrations, because a lot of people still, you know, care. Even though the Jets are giving us no reasons to care, a lot of people still want to know what's going on. They want to figure out a way to solve the giant mystery of solving the New York Jets. And I really want to start off with this, because I had a realization. I had a realization yesterday, last night, when I was hanging out with my boys. You know, I was hanging out with Jack and the rest of my friends. And, you know, I had a realization. And I talked about it on the rant video last night. But I want to break this down. I don't even know if what I'm about to say makes any sense to you guys, but let me know if this makes sense. There is something deeply wrong with the New York Jets, and that's not breaking news. Everybody knows that. Not even Jets fans. The entire NFL world knows there's something wrong with the Jets. They have the longest playoff drought, 14, now 15 years, because obviously the Jets are not making the playoffs this year. And I feel like the New York Jets have a deep-rooted issue that it's hard to see what the issue is, which is why it's hard to be solved. And what I mean by that is this. No matter who you bring in here to try to save this franchise, whether it being a new head coach, whether it being a new general manager or a different quarterback, it doesn't matter. Anytime a player or a coach comes to the Jets and they leave, they go thrive. Look at the San Francisco 49ers last night and even the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Robert Saleh is coaching up Bryce Huff and they're dominating. Jeff Ulbrich has the Falcons have one of the best defenses in the league. Sam Darnold is a top quarterback in the NFL over in Seattle. Aaron Rodgers is lighting it up in Pittsburgh. Fields was actually successful with Pittsburgh last year somehow. He was 4-2. I can keep going. Todd Bowles, 4 years with the Jets, cannot make the playoffs. And then he's a Super Bowl winning coach and now the first seed in the NFC with the Buccaneers, Todd Bowles. I mean, I can keep going. Geno Smith, not good anymore, but he had his breakout party, winning comeback player of the year. There's obviously something deeply wrong with this organization. And my approach to Aaron Glenn is this. He wanted this job. He wanted to become the Jets head coach because he has a connection with this franchise and he wants to be the reason the Jets turn it around. And he understood the mess that he is inheriting. And it is a mess, dude. And the mess that he's inheriting, it's not Robert Saleh's mess. It's not Jeff Ulbrich's mess. It's not even Joe Douglas's mess. It's the active owner of Woody Johnson's mess. And Aaron Glenn came here trying to figure out a way to solve the master mystery of the New York Jets' incompetence. And he's trying to plug up the holes on the fly. He's trying to learn everything. And he's getting absolutely buried by the media, by our own fans, by all the critics, and even just by football itself. And Aaron Glenn is trying to weather a ship here of bringing in his guys while trying to learn on the fly, win games, and he's failing miserably. And it just feels like Aaron Glenn is the next man just to be the punching bag of the organization. My point is this. no matter who the Jets bring in at head coach, I'm getting to the point where it's like, there has to be the most perfect human being in order to figure this out. Because without Woody Johnson selling this organization, it's never going to change, unfortunately. Because there's a deep-rooted issue that starts at the top. And I don't want to just blame the owner for everything, but at some point, he's the only constant of all this. And Aaron Glenn is ripping this organization down to his bones. That's what he's doing, if you couldn't tell. And, you know, the Jets aren't actively tanking. They're just doing it passively because they're not good. And Aaron Glenn is going to be here next year, in my opinion. I'm not going to say that's the right or the wrong decision here. But based off of the reports, based off Woody giving him a five-year contract, Woody Johnson is probably self-aware enough to realize, like, yeah, you know, this is a gigantic mess. It's not going to be able to be turned around in a year. Like, look at the New England Patriots. They turned their organization around after, what, two or three seasons of being bad? Well, let's not forget who the Patriots were with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady all those years with Robert Kraft. Like, he understands how to build a winning organization. So it's not crazy that the Patriots actually turn it around because they found their coach and quarterback. Like, it's not crazy. Look around the NFL and you see these first-time coaches figure it out. The Jets, it's like almost impossible to figure out a way. It's deeper. And this is my point. Aaron Glenn is just the next man to be the punching bag, because when you're the head coach of this organization, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be ripped to shreds. And if you're not built for it, who the heck is built for this job? Who? People don't want Aaron Glenn to be a one and done. Okay, who are you hiring? Mike McCarthy? Is that what people are saying? All these other guys? And then what? You think they're going to be able to figure out a way to solve this giant mystery of the Jets' incompetence? Like, I guess I just have a different approach, and I'm getting really sick and tired of the truth of this team, which is how incompetent the organization is. I mean, it's so... Okay, that's my rant about that. I know it went off the rails, but I feel like there's such a deep-rooted issue with this organization. It's deeper than just Aaron Glenn not being a good head coach. And I think that's my point here. It's way deeper than that. Every time, like, the way Jets fans have been operating throughout our entire existence is this. I mean, this is my expectation. Robert Saleh's going to get a head coaching job next year, probably, and he's going to be great. He's going to lead him to the playoffs. That's just the life of a Jets fan. Aaron Glenn maybe will get fired with the Jets eventually. He'll get hired as a head coach and then for another team and become great. That's just how it works. Breece Hall's probably going to get traded and become Saquon Barkley on another team. That's how it works. Jermaine Johnson's going to get traded and become Aiden Hutchinson on another team. Like, that's basically how it works. Like, we are literally the punching bag and the worst organization, not just in football, but in sports. Everything is bad right now, and it's hard to cling on to anything hopeful. Like, the defense is finally looking great, and we can't even be happy. We can't even be happy. And for the people that, and I don't want to go down this path real quick, but I'm going to have to do it. For the people that blamed Aaron Rodgers for last season are absolutely out of their dead wrong. And this is nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers individually, but people last year were like, oh, get this guy out of here. He's washed up. He's trash. He's the reason we suck. No, Rodgers was never the reason why we suck. It's the Jets that suck. Go bring in Pat Mahomes here. I bet you it won't work. It doesn't matter who you bring in. There's no stability. And I amend Aaron Rodgers for even taking the chance, wanting to come here to try to figure out a way to build this up for Jets fans. And we have people that hated on him. And this is nothing about him. It's just I'm using him as an example, Aaron Rodgers, and my point here. And now Aaron Glenn is the next man up. No experience as a head coach. The Jets bring him in. He wants this job. And the fact that Aaron Glenn wants this job, the fact that he looked at the New York Jets organization and he's like, that's the team I want to turn around. I was drafted there. They brought me in as a scout. And he's going to embrace this challenge. I have respect for AG because of that, man. And that does not guarantee just because Aaron Glenn wanted the job that he's going to figure himself out. No one's saying that. But I'm at least not going to let go of the rope this early. I'm at least going to give him a season of building this foundation, going through the ringer of losing, going through the ringer of figuring out a way to become a head coach on the fly. Because that's what he's doing. If you couldn't tell, Aaron Glenn is learning how to be a coach in this league on the fly. He's learning how to adjust. He's learning how to deal with quarterbacks. He's learning how to do a lot of things, man. He's learning on the fly. And he's obviously not doing anything good right now. He's not saying the right things in the press conference. He's not coaching up these guys to win football games. There's no situational awareness. There's nothing really to be excited about, hopeful about. You know, the defense finally woke up, but at some point, like, Jets fans can't even give him credit for that because we're not winning. You know, he made, and the thing about the Tyrod Taylor decision at halftime, if he did not make that decision, people will be really, really pissed off right now, even more at him. He makes a decision, doesn't work, so no one's going to give him credit for making that decision, just how it works. But the Jets are the worst team in football. Aaron Glenn is the worst coach in football. The Jets have the worst quarterbacks in football. They have the worst offense in football. Everything is worse. Everything is terrible, bro. Everything is bad. And I think that you look at Aaron Glenn and what he's done up until this point, he is the next guy to just be thrown into the fire of trying to weather a gigantic tsunami. And he doesn't know how to do it, man. He just doesn't. And I'm sure that he's going to try his best to figure it out. I'm going to give him all the world in the way, but I don't know, man. It's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough for Mr. Aaron Glenn to figure this one out. Everybody. So Aaron Glenn, you're the next face of the team that is going to be absolutely criticized. People are going to hate on you as you already have been. And that's the thing, man. Like, it's sad. It really is sad. 0-7. 0-7! Aaron Glenn is to start off his career as the New York Jets head coach. And it doesn't get better. It doesn't get any worse than this. And now, you know, now people are worried, like, he's going to draft the quarterback and fail him and then whatever. It's just so bad. And this has nothing to do with the game yesterday. We're going to get into it. X's and O's, Jets, Panthers. But at the end of the day, bro, like, the New York Jets have a deep-rooted issue, bro. And it's beyond Aaron Glenn. It really is. And if you look at what Darren Mooji has done, I mean, the trades that he's made so far, I mean, I'm not even going to complain about him. Jarvis Brownlee is a good player. Harrison Phillips, Jawan Briggs, those three guys I think are actually impactful defensive pieces. But at what point are we just going to all look at each other in the face and realize, like, there's something deeply wrong? And we all know it, but it's time to really admit it and to just, like, talk it out as fans, bro. Hennessy Heisman with a super chat. Watch us win 2 to 3 meaningless games and get pick 3. Probably. Hey, man, this team's going to be fighting. That's the one thing. They're probably not going to go 0-17. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they go 0-17. So they're probably going to win a few games. I wouldn't be shocked. TD is right. He say we going to be in the basement. He's right there with us, though. I see Q asking for a trade. Yeah, me too. And I don't blame him, bro. Quinnen Williams has been loyal to this organization. He's drafted here. He's such a good football player. Just to be wasted, bro. Just to be wasted. Do we have more talent than the Patriots? No, we don't. Because I think that us fans, me, have overrated our players. I mean, at least, I don't know. We have overrated our players because there is no talent on this team. With Garrett Wilson not on the football field on offense, I'll tell you this about Breece Hall. Does he have talent? Where is he? There's nobody on this team that I'm looking at. Like, yes, the Patriots, you're seeing more players play well because of good coaching and good quarterback play. Those two things level up everything. Dan says, sorry, Richie. Well, Dan, it's the darkest of times, man. I'm glad you were able to have a nice weekend off with no football. And the New England Patriots are ascending while the Jets are collapsing because they never were anything. The Bills are collapsing, but they have a chance to bounce back for sure. They only have a 2-game skid. They can easily get back on the right track here. But the state of the AFC East is very weird right now. The Dolphins and the Jets are just brutal, 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 brutal. Come December 9th, it's the first overall pick bowl. Yeah, it really is. We have an AFC East roundtable event, folks, and that's literally going to be the deciding factor of who gets the first overall pick, the Jets or the Dolphins. If you guys want to come through to that, tickets are on sale now. Glenn will be there. I will be there. TD Finstalk will be there. The AFC East roundtable crew will be there. We get to go on the field after the game. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's the Tank Bowl. It is the Tank Bowl. I would love for you guys to still come through, even though the Jets don't give us reasons, man. And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm not giving the Jets any more money. Well, we already gave the Jets the money. You're giving it us to Roundtable because we bought the tickets. We have 30 tickets purchased for the event. So now we have to sell them. Otherwise, they just, you know what I mean? We made that decision before the season. Didn't think the Jets and Dolphins would be this bad. And I don't know. It's going to be tough to sell those tickets. But I think that if Jets and Dolphins fans come together, unite about how bad we all are, that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to, man. Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. Hit the like button, folks, on your way into the show. We're going to open up the call-in link in a sec to open up the Jets therapy session to get you guys in the house. Are the 0-7 Jets the worst team in Jets history? And that's really mind-blowing to think about because the Jets have had bad, bad seasons historically. But this one feels so different. First-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, first-time general manager. There's no experience on this team. There's no quarterback to look at. There's nothing on this football team, and the New York Jets are still searching for their first win of the season. What they just did against the Carolina Panthers, starting Justin Fields in the first half, bringing Tyrod out there in the second half, not able to win, the defense keeping them in the game, giving the offense every single reason to go out there and make some plays. Oh my goodness, we got a lot to break down, man, because the New York Jets have went back-to-back weeks without scoring a touchdown, by the way. The Jets have not scored a touchdown in the first half since week one, and it's wild, bro. I was at that game, week one, Jets Media Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember being there thinking to myself, we got an offense. And I'm someone that was not high on Justin Fields entering the season, but seeing Justin Fields play the way he did against Pittsburgh in week one, it was like, in my brain, I'm like, wow, I don't know Justin Fields is this good. I mean, he was great in that game. And he's been an absolute abomination since that game. And now he literally can't even throw a screen pass. He's afraid to throw a screen pass. And I don't want to make this about ripping into Justin Fields. We know what Justin Fields is. I think if you're a Jets fan entering the season, most Jets fans knew, including myself, he's not the long-term answer. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be here long-term. He got a two-year contract that the Jets can get out of after this year. 2 years, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed. You can get out of the contract or he can be a backup next year, whatever the case may be. But the New York Jets are an absolute disaster right now. And I am sick of making these rant videos. It's just like historically bad, bro. It's historically bad. And let's break it all down. Hit the like button, folks, if you're just tuning into the video. Subscribe here to the channel if you're new. And I'm just at a loss for words at some points, man. And some people keep asking me, Richie, like, how do you do this? How do you keep making content, making videos, talking about this football team? I'm born to do this, it feels like, because I still wake up every morning ready to go to talk about this football team. And I'm still, and this maybe is either, you can tell me what word this is in the comments. You can call it delusional, hopeful, I'm out of my mind, I don't know. But I'm still clinging on to the hope that these New York Jets will figure it out one day. And I'm not just saying with this regime or anything this season or next season. I'm just saying one day. Whether that's in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, I want to be here making content on YouTube, all across social media, when the New York Jets are a playoff team contending for a Super Bowl. Is that so much to ask? Is that like ridiculous? Yeah, it is ridiculous as a Jets fan to hope for that because they are an absolute abomination, the worst team in sports. And not just the NFL, folks. The New York Jets are reaching new lows, bro. The Jets are reaching absolute new lows. We're not the worst team in the NFL. We're the worst team in like every single professional sport, worse than any team in the NHL, in the NBA. MLB, you name it. I mean, it's reaching that. Oh my goodness. It's just that bad, bro. So let's get into the game a little bit from yesterday. Why don't we? Because I'm going on a long rant about the incompetence of the organization. But when it comes to Justin Fields' first half performance, he had to get benched, bro. It was so bad. And the reason why it was bad was because Fields was so reluctant to give anybody on his team a chance to make a play. And that cannot happen. You cannot not give your players chances to make plays with the ball. I mean, they call a wide receiver screen pass, and Justin Fields looks at the screen, and he's so afraid to throw a screen pass that he hesitates, eats it, gets tackled for a loss of 4 yards. That can't happen. He drops back to pass. There's somebody underneath that he could check it down to. Pressure's in his face. Instead of just checking it down and getting hit, he eats the ball and takes a sack. Like, that's the things that cannot happen. Josh Reynolds gets open on a third down, and it takes him 3 seconds too late to throw the ball. When he throws it, the defense closes on incomplete. Those little things are the reasons why the Jets decided to go to Tyrod Taylor. And then when Tyrod Taylor came in the game in the second half, the offense shifted. Now, it did not do anything productive because the Jets were still not able to score a touchdown, but the ball started to get moving. You saw more first downs. You saw aggressive throws down the field. You saw just letting it rip. And that's all I ever wanted from Fields in this game. Heading in, I'm like, Justin, you got nothing to lose, dude. Just let it rip. If you throw an interception, I don't even care. At least I know you're trying. He's still not trying. So Tyrod comes in. He's throwing the ball down the field. They're doing trick plays. You got Alan Lazard wide open for a touchdown. And, of course, Tyrod is underthrows the ball. And then Lazard is just like an absolute can't even make an effort on the ball. I mean, yes, it was a bad throw, but at least put a better effort to catch the football, Lazard. And he doesn't do that. And then he throws a ball down the field. J.C. Horn on Josh Reynolds is the biggest mismatch on the face of the planet. You're talking about Josh Reynolds going up against one of the premier corners in the NFL. J.C. Horn dominated that matchup. Who's shocked? Not me. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And the whole notion of last week, Justin Fields was not benched. And then Aaron Glenn was asked about it. Why did you not bench him? And then he pushed back. Why do we start the game with Fields if you knew that he was not good enough to start? Like, where do the Jets go from here? Where do the Jets go from here? And the wide receiver corps, bro, like, how did it get this bad? And yeah, without Garrett Wilson, we know how trash it is. But wow, it's bad. Arian Smith isn't like just a rookie that has no spark. 3 targets, 1 catch, 0 yards. That was your chance, Arian Smith. Without Garrett Wilson, you had a chance to be some type of impact. He is nothing right now and probably never will be. You got Alan Lazard is just, why is he on this football team? Josh Reynolds is the most mid wide receiver I've ever seen in my entire life. And then you got Tyler Johnson running around making some solid plays. But at the end of the day, bro, there's no element to this offense that is productive. Breece Hall, I don't want to rip into him because I know that he's going to get traded and become an absolute beast on another squad. I don't know that if he's just checked out mentally. I don't know what it is, but this is Breece Hall's game to become the workhorse and become one of those guys that can carry a team. Because if Breece broke one, if Breece was able to make big-time plays to score touchdowns and become an absolute weapon in that game, like, we could have won. But I didn't see that from Breece. He averaged like 3.6 yards per carry or something like that. And on his limited opportunities, he did nothing with it. He didn't do nothing with it. I mean, it's just like there's nothing productive on offense. And the offensive line has not been great. So the offense is just a giant mess. And like the defense, it's sad because you can't say anything negative about the defense. You really can't, bro. The only thing I could say about the defense is, like, where are the sacks? They did get 2 timely sacks when you needed to the most in the second half. In the clutch, Jamien Sherwood got one on a blitz. Quinnen Williams and Juwan Briggs combined for a sack on third down. They got their sacks in a timely manner, but it's just so beyond frustrating, man. It really, really is, because Justin Fields was brought here to be the bridge quarterback, and it's beyond brutal how bad he is, man. Really, really bad. Really, really bad. And you look at Aaron Glenn. Every single week, what Aaron Glenn is doing is feeding the narrative of people, you know, more fans turning against him to want him to be out of here, man. That's how I look at it. Every single week, Aaron Glenn has a chance to maybe prove anybody and his own fans that he's not going to be an incompetent coach and you should believe in him. But he's giving every single fan a reason to not believe. And that's on him, bro. If you want fans to believe in your vision, if you want people to still have hope for the culture that you're trying to build here, you got to give us some type of reason, some type of signs. And it's going to get louder and louder and louder, which is why the Jets needed a win desperately yesterday. Because a win yesterday would have not gave the Jets a chance to do anything productive this season in terms of making the playoffs, obviously. But what it would have done is quiet the noise just a little bit. Like, get that burden off your shoulders. Finally getting a win. Having 0 wins in 7 games is really bad. It's bottom barrel stuff. Like, even bad football teams figure out ways to win somehow. The Titans somehow got a win. The Raiders even got a win. They're so bad. The Dolphins got a win because they went up against us. But, you know, the Cardinals, without their starting quarterback, they're still they're productive. The Jets are not even an entertaining product anymore. It's not like we're winning. I mean, excuse me. It's not like we're losing games and we're entertaining or anything like that. We're not entertaining. We're out there just, the stadium is half empty. There's no touchdowns being scored in back-to-back weeks. The defense is playing good, but the offense is so bad. And it's crazy when you look at the offensive difference in the first half yesterday and the second half of how different it was. They both sucked in different ways. In the first half with Fields, there was no movement. There was nothing happening. It was just punt after punt, And then in the second half, it's turnover. And it's like, all right, the conservative approach, trying to run the football and be, you know, honest with the team and, you know, with Justin Fields doesn't work. All right, let's go to Tyrod. Let's be more aggressive. Let's push the ball down the field. And that results in two interceptions. So it's like you try one philosophy this way, one philosophy that way. Newsflash, people that are like, oh, dude, the Jets are going to get the first overall pick. You think Fernando Mendoza is going to be the Messiah and come here and save everything? I love Mendoza. I think he's a heck of a product. I think he's a really good prospect. I'm a big fan of him. It's nothing against him. It's more about the tsunami, the absolute disaster of the New York Jets. I don't know if a rookie quarterback is going to be able to figure himself out here ever. Sam Darnold couldn't figure himself out here. Zach Wilson couldn't figure himself out here. Geno Smith couldn't do it. Aaron Rodgers couldn't do it. Mark Sanchez had two seasons and then he fell off. I mean, like, it really is becoming a place for quarterbacks to go and die, the New York Jets. Places where coaches go to die, the New York Jets. And that's what it's been. And that's what it continues to be. And that's what is frustrating me and Jets fans, bro. Because we are so passionate and we're holding on for this blind hope for it to get figured out one day. And we're just waiting for it to happen. And it doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen based off of what we're seeing, bro. So at the end of the day, man, when are we going to see something happen? Because yesterday's game against the Panthers, it was a winnable game. It was so winnable. The Panthers offense did nothing. 13 points. Bryce Young got knocked out of the game. If the Jets scored two touchdowns in the game, we would have won. Two touchdowns. That's all we needed, man. Two of them. I mean, like, sounds like I'm asking for the moon and the stars. That's all we needed, bro. That right there is what frustrates Jets fans more than anything. It's like you got these games that are absolutely right there for the taking and they can't get it done, dude. You just needed to score touchdowns. So you guys let me know your thoughts in the comments about everything I just broke down. Don't forget to like if you did not already, man. The New York Jets continue to be absolutely frustrating beyond belief. All right. Like, it's a new rock bottom the New York Jets are at. Last year, it was a different feeling because expectations were high and we kept losing. And it was like, it was one of those feelings where, wow, if it's never going to work now, will it ever work out? And now we're in this rebuild. And I say rebuild because we're in a brand new regime, brand new culture. Everything's new. And it's worse than it's ever, ever been. And now we're all thinking to ourselves, how will it ever change? Justin Fields is just a really bad quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is exactly what we all think he is. He's a backup for a reason. And you have a talentless offense. This team is going to get gutted, bro, before the deadline and in this offseason. And Aaron Glenn is just going to try to figure out a way to find his guys to fit his culture. And who knows if the culture he's building is even going to work out. I want it to work out, but who knows if it will. It's really, really frustrating, man. So you guys let me know where you stand on everything I talked about. And don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. I love you guys. Oh, boy. We opened up the call-in link, folks. So if you want to call in now, it's live. What a freaking day, man. What a day. Thank you, JD, for Malachi Corley, Alan Lazard, Denzel Mims, and Elijah Moore. All busts. Yeah, all of them. The only hit he had is Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver. Would have been nice if he drafted a few wide receivers in the mid rounds that we could still have today, but not the case. Sko with a $10 super chat. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the $10. Everybody give Sko some Dono hype in the chat right now. Dono hype in the chat. I thought Sauce was the best CB in the league, and we should have drafted Jackson Dart. I was on your side with that. Okay, let me say something quick about Sauce. Sauce Gardner is the most overhated player I think I've ever seen amongst its own fans. Anybody that's coming away from yesterday's game blaming Sauce Gardner, they just hate their lives, and they hate the Jets so much that they want to just put everything on one. Like, Sauce did nothing wrong yesterday. Sauce gave up 0 yards. Like, what do you want the guy to do? You want him to make plays like J.C. Horn? No one throws the ball to him. J.C. Horn is matched up against Josh Reynolds. That's a mismatch nightmare. I'm not saying Sauce is the best corner in the league. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But people are acting like the guy is Tremaine Johnson. Like he's trash or something, bro. That's just not true. You go look at the metrics. He's literally doing his job. Obviously, we want to see more from him. And we're going to, you know, criticize it. But I just think he is very overhated, man. That's just my opinion. Sauce Gardner is a player that obviously Jets fans are sick and tired of. And what I mean by overhated, man, it's just like, that's the guy we're going to start hating on right now. Like, out of everybody, the defense had no issue. The defense is not what we should be talking about right now. It's Aaron Glenn, the head coach of this football team, and it's the offense. Like, that's not the guy we should be bringing up. And when it comes to Jackson Dart, bro, I hate to be that guy that has to be like, I told you so. But You know what yesterday's game between the Giants and Broncos were for me? It was Bo Nix versus Jackson Dart. Those are two quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts. I said on this channel and on Twitter that the Jets should consider drafting Bo Nix 2 years ago to sit behind Aaron Rodgers. I got laughed at. Richie, you don't know ball. Bo Nix is not even a first-round pick. That's what they said to me early on in the draft process. I watched the Oregon tape, and I'm looking at Bo Nix, and I'm like, this guy would be really good to draft and let sit behind Aaron Rodgers so he can be our future. And everybody laughed at me, saying Bo Nix is not a first-round pick. He's going to be trash. That will be the worst decision the Jets could ever make. Okay, let's go to the next offseason. I see Jackson Dart. I'm like, you know what? That Jackson Dart kid, I think he would work. And the reason why I thought Jackson Dart is somebody the Jets should consider drafting was because of exactly why he's thriving with the Giants. It's not his talent physically. It's his moxie, his confidence, I think actually translates. I think Jackson Dart embodies New York City extremely well. And you're seeing the success over there. There's a reason why I like Jackson Dart. It's not just of his athleticism and all these things. Like, I think he carries himself in a way that I thought could work with the Jets. I said the Jets should draft Jackson Dart. People said he's not even a first round pick to me. We had some people in the chat that agreed with me, but most people, when I tweeted it out and said about Jackson Dart, like, he's not even a first round pick. He's an exact Wilson. Jackson Dart sucks. Now look at him. He's on a crosstown rival being a dog. What a game yesterday between the Giants and the Broncos, by the way. My goodness. In that game, Bo Nix and Jackson Dart, I was watching it with my boys and I told them, like, I just realized this is the battle of the two quarterbacks. I wanted the Jets to draft. This is the two guy I wanted, one of these two. We can't get one of them. And now we're going to draft the quarterback this year, and it's probably going to suck. I don't want him to suck. I want him to be great. But knowing us, I feel like I'm losing it, bro. I am absolutely losing it, bro. We're going to draft, like, Fernando Mendoza, the most over, probably, like, most hyped up quarterback. We get the first overall pick, Fernando Mendoza, and then he's going to suck. And then we're going to trade Mendoza, and then he's going to go to the Panthers or whatever team needs a quarterback, and he's going to be a dog. That's what I've grown to be accustomed to as a Jets fan. Take a deep breath, Richie, and everybody watching, because it's a dark day. And it's going to keep getting dark. But hit that like button, folks. Let's open this call-in link up now. I appreciate you guys tuning in to the show. As always, first up, we got my man, Just Josh. Josh, yo, my friend.
Good morning, Richie. Good morning, Jets fans.
Good morning, my brother.
Again. So, I only got one thing to say. I just want to give my personal game day, Jets game day, man. So, yesterday, this is what I did. I woke up, fed my kids, changed my kids, cut my grass, because I'm trying to get everything done out the way before 1 o'clock, before the game starts. And this is so crazy, because I just know the Jets is going to lose. This is how sick us Jets fans are. So, I got up, fed my kids, cut the grass. I had to go to the laundromat, do my laundry, did all of that stuff, man. Cleaned out my car, my girlfriend's car, did all of that stuff, and just had to just rush just to watch us lose. And I already know we're going to lose. And it's just crazy. Like, man, I don't even know what to say no more. I got nothing to say. Like, I don't even care, man, no more.
You have all morning routine. You're ready to go, being productive. All right, let's go. Just football and a one just for that.
Like, it's I don't even care no more. Like I'm off today because I called off because I just been working so hard, man. So I called off today. I don't even care about I'm up here smoking. For the kids who's watching, do not smoke. Don't do it. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. But that's all I got. Richie, man.
I love you, Josh, man. Enjoy your day off. You definitely deserve it, man, to give yourself some rest. I appreciate you, brother. And let's go Jets, my man. Much love. Josh, man, he's out there just enjoying his day off. Unfortunately, couldn't be celebrating a victory Monday with your boy. I don't know if we ever will this season. If we go 0-17, dude, like, that's never happened in history, right? 0-17, that's historic stuff, right? Oh, my God. And I don't know if you guys, like, really want, like, I feel like there's some Jets fans that want that. Let me just make this clear. If you're a Jets fan and you want this team to go 0-17, please let me know in the chat. Do you want to go 0-17? Is that something you want to be known for? No wins a whole season? That's something you want to be known for? Or just a first overall pick? That's not what you want? Actually, genuinely rooting for it? That makes me nauseous, dude. Are you kidding? That will never leave us. That's a new low. Folks, there is a low that we're at right now. that will bring us to a low that I don't think we've ever thought was possible. Okay, even bad football teams figure out a way to win a game or two. What's the worst record in football? Is it 1 win, 2? Definitely not 0-17, right? That would be wild, bro. All right, let's get back into some callers. Oh, wait, we have to go on a little, we have to go on a quick pause. I unfortunately, I'm okay, but I have allergy season and I get bloody noses. I'll be right back. I'm getting a little bloody nose. I'll be right back. I'm good. Anybody's concerned, it is okay. It happens. I don't know why, but it's annoying. And I wish it didn't happen during the show. But we're good. Gotta let it go. We're good. We're good. We're good. You know what, man? Hey, at least you guys can still hear me, right? I don't want you guys to see me bleeding all over the place. The Jets are making me bleed out of my nose, folks. Can you believe that? That's what it's been. Nah, all jokes aside, I've always had this issue around this time of year when it gets dried up. But I blame the Jets. I blame the Jets. I blame the Jets. All right, I think it's calmed down a little bit. We're back. I think we're good. All right. Sorry about that. Appreciate you guys still watching. All right, let's get into the next caller. We got my boy James.
Playing injured, dog. Okay. Little bloody nose. It's all good. Bro, you know what, man? We are the New York Jets, and we are built for this shit. This is shit. Yeah. He was right about that one. We are built for this shit. Solid shit, loose shit, baby shit. You name it. We're built for it. Oh, boy. yeah. Justin Fields, man. Done. Right. See you later. Tried it. I was optimistic. Too optimistic. He sucks. He cannot play quarterback in this league. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. He cannot throw a screen pass. I've never seen something like that. I guarantee, they put me on the field, I'll complete a fucking screen pass. I will.
And the screen pass. That was Zach Wilson's problem, but Zach at least attempted and just couldn't complete it. Justin doesn't even try. He's scared to throw a screen.
Bro, there was a video that came out over the summer. I won't forget it. During training camp, Aaron Glenn, I guess Justin Field made, he was having a nice drive. And he came up to him when the drive ended. And he said, that's how you play point guard. That's how you play point guard.
Yeah.
Point guards distribute the fucking basketball. All right. In this case, distribute the football. He doesn't even throw.
That's exactly what the Jets want Fields to be. And exactly what he's failing to do is being the point guard. All the system is asking, which is why Tyrod came in, because he's not a great point guard, but at least he's one of those point guards that gets you 10 dimes and 8 turnovers, right? Like,
yeah,
you have to give the playmakers a chance, and Fields just doesn't even do that, bro. So I agree, because that's the vision of Aaron Glenn, of this quarterback with Fields, and he's absolutely trash. He can't even do that.
It's I think it's the worst quarterback play we've ever seen. I do. The defense, yeah, they're tightening up the screws the last few weeks, but it's all for naught. We can never put it together. We have no weapons. Josh Reynolds, he wouldn't even be a third option on a good team. Not even a third option. He was our number one option yesterday. The line, not bad. Campbell, Breece, I mean, what the bro? Nothing. No difference making. Nothing. Quiet. Quiet. I don't know, like a lot of people, I don't know really what to say here. 0-7. It's dark right now, man. I don't think he's going to get fired. He's not going to be fired. I don't think he should be fired, but bro, next year, yeah. If we don't come out hot next year, he's gone. And we're talking about next year already. It's not even fucking Halloween. It's not even Halloween. Richard, we've never done this. It's not even Halloween. We don't have a win. We are the worst offense. I think there's college offenses that might be better. I mean, this is atrocious, bro.
It doesn't get worse than this, bro. It really doesn't. You know, you don't have a win. And the weird thing is, you know, early on in the season, they were losing because the defense stunk and the offense was actually productive. And then it just flipped.
It's always, dude, it's always like that.
It's like they can never get all the sides of the ball playing at the same time. That's what makes you a complete football team.
Why?
It's so frustrating. Well, the defense finally looks so good. 13 points given up back-to-back weeks, and this offense can't even score a touchdown in those games.
13 points, bro. You allow 13 points on any given Sunday. You're supposed to win the game. It's just like that's what happens. You allow 13 points, 9 times out of 10, you win the game. But not us, not the Jets, because we are built for this shit. You know, I think there's something deeper, man. Like you brought up before Woody, right? And I hate the prick. Hey, Woody, I fucking hate you. No one likes you. But what is he doing that's, like, what could he be doing that's seeping dead? I don't understand. Like, if I'm the owner, right, at this point, I'm listening to the fan base. I know how disgusted and just sick to our stomachs, right, we are. Why wouldn't you just say, Aaron, Darren, all you?
You know what I think it is? I think he's all doing you. That. I think he's doing that, but the infrastructure that's in place that's been built there for years is what the issue is somehow.
Okay, but what are we – what exactly?
We don't see it. We don't know. We need someone to do a deep investigation, which is why there's all these hit pieces coming out from The Athletic every other week trying to expose the truth, because without people digging, doing their journalistic research on these issues, and us Jets fans, we don't want to see these bad things, but we may need to, because there's something deeply wrong behind closed doors that we don't see.
What could it be, though? Like, I don't know what it could be. No, I'm asking you honestly, Rich. What could it be?
I mean, it's...
Like, what do you think it could be? It's not people that are selling tickets. It's not,
you know... are you on Twitter, James?
No.
So, NYJ Matt, who's one of the top accounts on Twitter, he's my boy. Mm-hmm. He's on the Broadway Jets... part of Jet X Factor. He actually has a scoop. Now this has, and I want to get your thoughts about this. This has nothing to do with this era, but it's a story about Woody Johnson when Aaron Rodgers was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very interesting. I want to get your thoughts of it. And I haven't really brought it up yet on this show, so we're going to do it now. So here it is. This is not a bit, actually a real story. So the Jets had food trucks during practice in 2024 each Friday. Woody Johnson cut the costs and stopped it. So Aaron Rodgers decided to pay out of his own pocket $10,000 to keep the food trucks going. Woody Johnson was pissed off that Aaron Rodgers went behind his back and undermined him. So this right here, and I know Matt, he's not going to say this if this is not true. And he's like, this is something he figured out. He's plugged in with some things. I know that for sure. So shout out to Matt for the scoop. But like a little thing like this just shows you like, Woody Johnson, he obviously, there's like energy and there's something that he's doing like this that just makes you, there's beef behind closed doors. Like Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers, now Woody's like, oh, screw Aaron. And then they, like little things like that adds up, bro. I don't know.
So that's something that I definitely can see seeping down and just being like, because if I'm a player, I'm saying to myself, this fucking guy's a billionaire. He can't. Got to cut costs in a food truck. What? We should have 10,000 food trucks here. So that if that type of shit happens, I could see that. But
yeah, then Aaron's like, I got it.
dude.
He's trying to be a good guy. And then Woody's oh, you're trying to undermine.
Yo, you know what, though, dude? It's a shame, bro. And it's only us that it didn't work out with that guy, bro.
Really, dude? Everyone wanted to blame Aaron, and like I'm telling you, bro, like yeah, Aaron did not play great, but like he was the furthest thing of our problems last year. And I'm not saying we should have kept him either. That's not what I'm saying. I'm happy we cut ties with him. It's the best case scenario for Aaron Rodgers individually and the Jets, honestly, because I don't think he would have worked here. Like genuinely, it's just ridiculous.
What is going, dude, bro? I've told you before, dog. Bro, 36, dude. 2 weeks ago, like what? Come on, man. Like, when is it going to hit, bro? 2019? When, Rich? When? Hold on. One more thing, bro. I think what you hit on, energy, that might be a thing. Because energy is palpable, right? You, someone could walk into a room and you could feel something and they don't have to say something. And people do give off certain energies. I believe that. And
me too.
I just don't know. I don't know what's going to change this effing thing. But
did you hear from Breece Hall? Had something to say that's he didn't. I don't think he used the word energy, but it's pretty much exactly what we're talking about. So
what did he
listen
say?
To what Breece Hall had to say.
You keep a positive morale doing seven throughout a seven or seven start.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, we've been kind of in this for going in 4 years now, being, you know, in this organization, and you know, you feel it from the fans, you feel it around the building, you feel it, you know, everywhere. You feel it as soon as you leave the locker room. But at the end of the day, you know, we all have something to play for, whether it's family, whether it's a self-motivated thing. I feel like
What he said there is, like, you feel it in the locker room when you leave, you feel it from the fans, you feel it around the building. Like, that's the energy we're talking about. Like, there's this energy that's being felt from even these players. And, like, obviously, Breece has not played well, whatever. It's just more about what he said. I'm like, I wonder if this is a thing that the players even talk to themselves, like, bro, there's something wrong with this place.
Dog,
you know what I mean?
Dog, if one of the best players on the roster is saying that, it's talked about. It's talked about. And yeah, that's bad. That's really bad. Because that's something that, even no matter how prepared you are, no matter how good, something else is at play. You know what I'm saying? There's some other factors that are not, it's not tangible. You can't grab it. You can't touch it. But it's there. That scares me a lot. And that's a fucking shame, because that's, if one of our core, quote unquote, core pieces says that, that means the whole thing is tainted already. And that means now we're going to have to get rid of players that I don't want to get rid of. I don't want to get rid of Breece. I don't want to get rid of JJ. I don't want to get rid of Quinnen. I really don't. But Quinnen's what, 7 years now here? You know? Like,
no, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get rid of them either. And it's sad, because what he's talking about was there before Aaron Glenn showed up. It was there before Robert Saleh showed up. And that's my point. Like, this this has been there for years. And whatever the next head coach that comes in is trying to figure out how to solve that mystery, and nobody can figure out that mystery.
Well,
that's how I'm thinking about it.
Are you giving up? You done with AG now, right?
No. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that I understand, like, I'm not letting go of the rope, because I think Aaron Glenn deserves his opportunity, just like Saleh got his opportunity. But my point with Aaron Glenn is he's getting buried, bro. Like, the deeper he goes into the hole, the least amount of hope I have. Like, is he built to actually take on this storm? Because Aaron Glenn inherited this mess. He knew what he was getting, signing up for. And I think that he understood, like, this season, even though whatever he says in the media, well, we're here to win now, we're here to win.
Right.
That's just speak. And now he is staring 0-7 in the face. And I can tell you right now, he's not going anywhere. And I know that. So that's why, knowing he's not going anywhere, I'm sorry, I'm not making any videos about what coach the Jets should get next offseason.
Oh.
That's absolutely pointless and a waste of time. It's a waste of everybody's time. If you're thinking, like, oh, let's pair him up with Mike McCarthy, let's go get Cliff Kingsbury with the rookie quarterback, you're wasting your time, because it's not happening. I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking that, but you're just wasting your time doing that. So I'm not going there. I'm going to just figure out a way as a fan to find a way for Aaron Glenn to build this up. But at the end of the day, he's making it hard for myself and all these fans to stay hopeful with him, because he's not giving us any reason.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but you cannot, you can't jump ship after 1 year. Like, that to me is, that's going to set us back even more. Because now you give the keys to someone, and then 17 games later, you're gone. So we can't do that. He's not going to be gone. He's definitely not.
I know. And I he's not going to be gone. He's not.
And what do you think about Tanner, bro? Because a good OC would scheme something up. They finally did. Rick, I've been talking for weeks, bro, about a trick play. We finally get a fucking beautiful designed trick play, and Tyrod Taylor cannot complete the pass twice. Not once, twice. On two deep balls. That one.
You had Lazard open, and he did not put enough air underneath it. And that's sad. It really is sad. It's funny, because right when you scheme something open, and you know, Tanner Engstrand, I mean,
what do
I'm
you
definitely
think?
Critical of Tanner. I mean, he's not proven much. He started off the season hot, and we're like, dude, this guy Tanner's great. The Lions regretted giving up on him.
Right.
But he's not showing a lot. And I think there's also a deep quarterback issue. Like, I really do think that if there was a quarterback that he had that knows how to spray the ball around, like Thursday night, Flacco versus Rodgers was so eye-opening to me. Because those were two guys that have the game slowed down and the football IQs off the charts. They know where the ball needs to go. The Jets don't have that. Fields is literally the polar opposite, where you can't He just doesn't know where the ball needs to go. Tyrod,
he's scared to throw.
Needs to go, but Tyrod is just like, he's just not a good quarterback. So it's hard. The Jets have a big issue, and you know, Tanner Angstrom has not given me any reason to believe in him. But I also feel like he deserves a quarterback. But that's been an issue for all these offensive coordinators the Jets have had. We've never had a quarterback besides last year with Rodgers. So I don't.
Well, listen, the two guys you just said, two ex-Jet quarterbacks, Joe Flacco,
balled out.
Aaron Rodgers. Remember that game in Cleveland when Garrett Wilson caught that game-winning touchdown where he fucking seeded that thing, bro? Like, it's just there. It's something. It's an energy. It's a force that's here because when people come here, they crumble. It's a force of energy. It's the media. It's an amalgamation of everything, dude. Everything, and we're gonna need someone with a real strong sense of,
you know what we're going to need to fix this team?
An exorcism.
A Jedi.
Yeah. Fact.
And I'm the man for it. Luckily, I'm dressed up as a Jedi.
I love it, bro.
I'm in there, baby.
Yes. Yes. Slice him up.
I'm going in, and I'm going to freaking figure out who's the Sith Lord in that Jets building. And I know who it is. Bro, his name is Woody Johnson.
I think so. And the worst part is, this thing's either going to, it's either going to his kid or his brother or someone. Dude, that thing ain't going to cut it, dog. I'm telling you.
And that's the thing. Everyone's like, sell the team, Woody. Woody's already signing papers to hand the team off to his freaking grandson. Are you kidding me? It's going nowhere.
I think Joe Namath might have done something too, dog. You know? I think he might have signed some paperwork. Do it.
Figure it out.
I'll be right there with you, bro.
I'm being a Jedi for Halloween.
So are you?
Anakin Skywalker. So
I love it. I love it. You know what I'm gonna be? Out
with the saber.
I'm gonna be a Jets fan. Just walk around with a bag on my head. You know? Walk around with a bag for the day. I do that anyway every Sunday. What's the difference?
You might as well. Well, James, I appreciate the call, man. Much love to you on these Mondays. We're going to get to some more callers, but I appreciate you, bro. And
love you, dog.
We're just together, brother. Much love to
you. Talk to you soon, bro.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, man. And try not to think about the Jets anymore. Do yourself a favor. You got it out. Shout out to James for wearing his heart in his sleeve with me, letting it out there. This is crazy, man. This is crazy stuff. Crazy stuff, man. Let's keep the call line going. We got my boy NY Jets Indy in the house.
Richie, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's good, my man?
Man, nothing much, man. Just trying to hold on to the rope, man. But AG is making it hard, man. He is really making it hard. I don't think he should be done after year one. But he's making it real hard. And I think that when I look at last week, this week, and really just the whole season, what's concerning me with AG, it's not so much personnel. I know he doesn't have all of his guys, but there's some things that you can't blame the guy, like the team, for. It's coaching. Like, what is it when we get to like the 40-yard line and we don't secure a field goal? Like, we just throw the ball. When, like, a good team and a smart team, what you should do is run the ball, and try to at least get 5-10 yards to make sure you secure the field goal. Especially like yesterday when points were going to be like at a premium. The first time we got into the red zone, we started out good, 4th and 5, kick the field goal. It was third and two, and even the announcer said it. He was like, I wouldn't put this ball in the air. He said, what I would do is go to my offensive lineman, run the ball twice, and secure the field goal. What does he do? He throws it up twice, and I think that's when he threw that interception to Josh Reynolds. Why they didn't try to do that with Garrett Wilson all season, but you throw it up to Josh fucking Reynolds like he's Randy Moss or something. It's like, it's just Josh
Reynolds, double coverage.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds. And it's like, my worry is like, even going into next year, I've been looking at Mendoza and he looks nice. He looks nice. But my other worry is Tanner Angstrom, because
yeah, of course he's not proving anything.
He's not proving anything. And I'm just like, why do you keep doing these long developing routes when we have nobody to throw to? And it's just like, at what point Wilkes has looked bad last week's, like 13 points, like that. His defense has looked better, but it's like, at what point does Aaron Glenn, like, what's going to be the punishment for Tanner Armstrong? Like, what's going to take over? It's like, I think that Aaron Glenn is just over his head, and I think that he needs some type of experience on his stat, on the offensive staff, because it's like, Tanner is a first time play caller. He doesn't really, I think, really know how to construct a good game plan. Aaron is trying to figure it out. I feel like he needs someone, like, next year, he needs someone to, like with some experience, because he's in over his head. And he kind of really shot himself in the foot, because he talked about, we're here to win now, and we're here to do all this and that. And it's like, I think he's trying to make this team more than what it is. And that's where I think he's failing at.
No, I agree, man. I think you hit on a lot of points. When you're preaching winning and you're not, you know, that's going to be talked about from us fans, because you're saying one thing and then you're seeing the product of another, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the reality of it. Did the Jets have an offensive coordinator issue? He is the brains behind the operation. And usually if you have a good system, it doesn't matter what quarterback you plug in, they can be effective. And with the quick, easy stuff over the middle, the quick routes, RPOs, run. I mean, you don't see any of that. You really don't. So. We definitely have a bad issue right now with this offensive coordinator. So,
yeah, and if I hate to say this, like, don't ever tell TD this, but I like some of the concepts that Miami used to do, kind of when they were, you know, when their offense was kind of clicking with the motions, the quick passes. I mean, you look at the limitations that Tua has, but Tua and the quick pass his way all the way to a paycheck. Now, we know what he is, but my point is, if you have a quick passing game, you know, basically like an extension of the run game, you can do some things with these quarterbacks. And I just think that we would be, like, with a good coach, we would probably be about 3-4 right now. We probably wouldn't be 7-0 or 6-2, but we would be, I think, with a good coaching staff, we'd be 3-4 right now. Just based on situational football, something that these fucking guys don't know about.
No, I mean, you are right there. I mean, you look at these games that the Jets have played this season. I mean, you're not far off. I mean, you look at the scores. You can say there's three wins that we just let completely go underneath. And what I mean by that is, week one against Pittsburgh, you're right in that game. You had a chance to win that one. Against the Bucks, if you just get a stop on that last drive against Baker, you win that game. I mean, don't even get me started about the Miami Dolphins game. I mean, that was just a fumble, and then it turned into a giant disaster. The Cowboys game, we lost just from the two-minute drill. And then the Broncos game, I mean, all we needed is a field goal, and we couldn't get that. I mean, like, the only blowouts we had was against the Bills. It really was wild. Like, you look at these games, and you're like, obviously you can't go back and be like, well, what if this, and play the what if game? But, like, they're like, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting delusional, but it seems like they're closer than you think. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like that at all. It really doesn't.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's what I mean. Like, you talk about winning so much. You talk about winning. We're going to win now. We're going to be aggressive. And like the Denver game, as bad as you played, as bad as things were, how do you not know that would have been a 61 or a 62 yard field goal? Like, who the hell is telling you that it was a 68? That's the big difference in a field goal. And Nick Folk, thank God, has been the best source of the points that you've had all fucking season. Yeah, and I'm like, I just don't.
A big tendency that I really hope gets better is be more aggressive, play to win, not play to lose. And I think that's the defensive mindset that he has. You know, defensive coordinators usually have the wiring of, we have such a good defense, we're just going to, you know, play good defense, run the football, we're going to win. But offensive guys usually are the killers. They want to go kill you. They want to go out there and, you know, go for it all the time. And I really hope Glenn goes out there and does that. But Jets Indy, I appreciate the call as always. Appreciate the support, my man.
Appreciate it, man.
Enjoy the rest of your Monday, my brother.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
We're going to be talking about a Jets victory Monday one day. I know that. Together, Jets Indy. You're my man. Stop hiring defensive coaches. It's not the 90s, says my boy Hennessy Heisman. Appreciate you, Henny, for the kind super chat as always. Yeah, the defensive coordinator's first time ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't working, man. Appreciate the super chat, my man. We got Flix up next. What up, Flix?
Yo, can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How do you feel about the loss here? I just joined right now, but how do you like feel about the loss to the Panthers? Because I don't know how I feel about the Dolphins.
It's pretty dark right now, Flix. Right now, pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, I know how I feel about the Browns loss. I feel really happy right now.
Yeah, I know. You're definitely going to be firing everybody. It's just a matter of time.
If we haven't fired anybody right now, we're not going to fire anybody. There's no way that no one hasn't fired yet. 6-31 against Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel.
Hey, bro, it could happen this week, or they're just waiting until the offseason.
When I saw that 2 interception, bro, I'm not going to lie. I was smiling for some reason. I don't know why. I'm happy. Yeah. Like, Tua is a fraud. He's a bum. Tua is a bum.
We all knew that.
Viewers got that. Quinn Ewers had a better pass than Tua in the game.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Quinn. They demoted Zach before the game. Quinn Ewers becomes QB2, and then he gets inserted the game.
Man, hopefully we take Mendoza somehow. I want Mendoza or somebody. I want our Sellers.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Jets and thanks for the call, Flix. It's going to be Jets and the Dolphins fans rooting. It's going to be Jets and Dolphins at the top of the draft this year, picking a quarterback. That it's giving 2017, 2018 vibes, whatever draft class that was, when the Jets got Sam Darnold and the Bills got Josh Allen. It's crazy when you have two teams in the same division going after a quarterback in the draft. You know, maybe the Jets get Mendoza and the Dolphins get Sellers, or the Jets get Dante Moore and Dolphins get Mendoza, or whatever the case may be. But that's going to be interesting stuff. That's going to be interesting stuff, man. Want to give a giant shout out to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of Jets Media all season long. Don't forget to use the code JETS if you have not already for a 100% match up to $100 by using my code JETS, folks. That's code JETS. When you sign up today, you will get a 100% match and also a $20 of free money, free entry when you sign up today using that code JETS, 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 Jets. Shout out to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of Jets Media, man. This is the Jets therapy session, and it's been an absolute disaster. I'm sick of doing these Jets therapy sessions. I want to be talking about Victory Mondays, but they're not giving me any reason to believe that they'll happen anytime soon. I love you guys. Just know that, man. I'm gonna run. I got some things to do. I got some content to make, some things to get done on my end, but I appreciate you guys tuning in. Salute to everybody. And let's keep our vibes high as much as we can. Keep your head up, Jets fans. And I appreciate the love. Appreciate the support as always. It's been a dark time here covering this football team. But, hey, you got to go out there and do what you got to do. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll be live on 4th and Forever, live on the AFC's Roundtable later today. A lot of fun stuff on the horizon. Will it be fun? Who knows? But, hey, got to enjoy the process. Got to enjoy life. Take care, everybody. Much love. Salute to the chat. I love you all. I'm out.